color response didn't work, and then you lost things like Genyon and ADV. Tokyo Pop made a lot of bad decisions with regards to distribution, and they had to restructure. I think we're living in a world where already we're seeing the impact of what piracy had on the industry, and now you can queue up a legal Crunchyroll app and watch it. You can, or I get most of my anime through Netflix. I love how Netflix has all the shows I want to see in both English and Japanese, and I can pick which one I want, and for $7.99 a month, I watch them. And then if I really like a show, like I really wanted to get Hosuki's Cool Headedness, I bought it. I really wanted to get Kids on the Slope, and I bought it. And it's allowed, in the end, the educated consumer is the best customer. That old saying from, I forget which old company said, an educated consumer is our best customer. I think it's given the chance for people to know what they're getting into. I remember one of my friends bought a box set back in like 2006, and it looked really awesome. He spent $120 on it, and he hated every minute of it. And he said, if I had been able to watch this beforehand, I never would have bought it. Today, if you don't know where to watch it beforehand, if you don't know where to find it beforehand, that's your problem. And I know that's kind of a politicking answer, but as someone who's been on both sides of the aisle, that's how I make my decisions. I'll watch the show online. I will like the show. I will buy the show. And if not, at least I have the chance to talk about the show and provide publicity that way.
Fair enough. And just on a minor point, what do you think of – you spoke of Sentai and Funimation. But what do you think about a Viz's approach where they're kind of doing these really value-added products that they're doing, such as the recent Sailor Moon, like they've been releasing limited edition sets that are, you know, they really like, you know, make the product look all shiny and everything. And also, you know, they provide like, you know, the recent Sailor Moon limited editions, like they came with a book for the fans to, you know, kind of have images and to see the character, like full character profiles, things like that. I mean, what do you think about those kind of value added products?
I love incentivization. I mean, Aniplex does it really well, but like, I like Viz because Viz has like the most is very diverse in what they do. I used to buy like so many Viz manga back in the day because I liked the quality of the print, the quality of the paper, and the quality of the book. But I mean, incentives are a wonderful thing because you get your hands on the incentive and you got a little something that's special and it's cool. And I mean, we used to do that in music all the time. I mean, like when you would like the bundle packs, you buy a CD, get a t-shirt, or buy an album, get the digital download with it. I love how companies that do vinyl pressings for music will include a digital download with the vinyl pressing. I really think that that's a great way of getting people in the door. I mean, it's the most basic thing. It's creating something. It's creating a premium market. I mean, look at Japanese candy companies back in the middle of the 20th century that would use the candy as a way of distributing books, or that would use little trinkets to get people to buy their goods. It's great. If you want it, you buy it. If you don't want it, you don't. I mean, I like deluxe editions. I love the omnibus editions that Viz puts out, where if I don't have something, I don't have to buy it individually. I have the complete Dragon Ball as those giant omnibus because I got the whole series for half price. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That gets the customer excited. And you get the customer excited to spend their money. I mean, these are nothing new. This is nothing new. This is a tried and true marketing method, and it's a tried and true marketing method that rewards the customer and helps the producer generate additional revenue. Nothing wrong with it.
Right on. Moving on to another element of, you know, of music and anime, even video games and comics to a large extent is, you know, there's a kind of now a kind of, as we look back, you know, as these mediums revive again in so many ways, especially with the retro craze and games and such. Do you think there's like a historiosity to these things? Like, you know, a certain series was, you know, emblematic of its time. A certain game was emblematic of a certain generation, and that, you know, that there's a little bit of like, you know, there's a little bit of a spark of the 80s in, you know, Duck Hunt and Hogan's Alley and Super Mario. There's a little bit of the 90s in Sailor Moon and in Dragon Ball, and that today there's, you know, there's such a thing of the, you know, Final Fantasy like encapsulates the gaming of the 2000s.
I have been on a retro game kick since Magfest. It started with hunting around for a copy of Grandia 2 for the Dreamcast, and it's kind of spun out of control to the point where I just bought 7 NES cartridges when I was last down in Virginia. I think nostalgia plays a huge factor. The fact that I am drawn to the old games because those were the games that I played growing up, and they always hold a strong attachment to me. I'm sure that Final Fantasy Type-0 is a fine game. I don't want to play it. I want to play Final Fantasy VII. I want to play Final Fantasy IX. That was when I was really having a resurgence about games, and I was obsessing over those games. I think for, on the one hand, the older consumer, the person who was there at the time, sees an element of youth in it. An element of, this is situated in this place in time. Like you said, historiosity, it's situated in that period in time, and you know that this game feels like the 90s. When you see people in the modern day making throwback games, like Sword of Zoland for iOS, it feels like an 8-bit level jumping beat-em-up, and it invokes that sense that, yeah, I'm a kid again. But then there's also the fact that you have multiple generations. You have people who grew up in the 70s and 80s who now have kids, and the kids play video games, and the parents share it with the kids, and now the kids are feeling what the parents felt, and it's a way of bringing families together and experiencing things together. Cowboy Bebop is like that one show that I recommend everyone watches because it feels so late 90s. But it's still a lot of fun, and it still can get people drawn in because while it was a late 90s show, it was still ahead of its time. When it comes to any kind of media, the media that will continue to survive generation after generation after generation after generation, the reason this media explicitly survives is because we feel connected to it. And there you go. Why do retro games work? Because it is a tangible tie to nostalgia, but there's something about it that screams, hey, this is my past, this is your past, this is our past. Let's go enjoy it and let's go talk about it. And I think that to the extent that is a very emotional way of looking at things, it allows different generations to experience things in different ways. I've rarely encountered someone – I mean, I've encountered people who will watch Vision of Escaflowne, and that, make no mistake, is a 90s anime. It has a cat girl in it. The characters are all sharp angles, and they have giant noses. That is a 90s anime. And I have people who watch Escaflowne and say that's old and that's weird. But by the same token, that laid the groundwork